this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? And he answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Do you know, in this account, God is trying to get Jonah's attention, isn't he? I wonder this morning whether God is trying to get your attention, maybe through what's been shared already. God is trying to speak to you. I believe he is. Do you know, God was trying to get Jonah's attention, but Jonah was running. He was on a run. Why did he run? Well, he'd been asked by God to do something he didn't want to do. He's been called to go to a people he doesn't like and to a place that he doesn't want to go to. He's been called to Iraq, a place called Nineveh in Iraq. Instead, he's booked an expensive cruise to Tarshish in southern Spain. And maybe you look at that and think, I can understand that. In fact, I would prefer Spain to Iraq. Maybe you're not surprised at Jonah's decision. Do you know, people run from God for all sorts of reasons. All sorts of reasons people run. But I think the biggest reason people run from God is summed up in the life of Jonah. And it's this belief that actually life is going to be better going our own way rather than God's. This belief that actually doing our own thing, maybe even running away, is going to lead to a better life than going God's way. Do you know, this is a story of all of us. God calls us, and we look for a ticket for Tarshish. We have this tendency to run from God. And my question this morning is, just briefly, how does God respond to people who run away from him? How does God respond when we run? I've got one point, which is probably good. And it's this. God pursues us when we run. And I just want to, for a few minutes, talk about why. Why does God pursue us when we run from him? Look at verse 4 with me. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. This is no ordinary storm. Why is God sending this storm after Jonah? Well, look, it's described as a violent storm. It's such a major storm that the ship is about to be destroyed. There's a suggestion of kind of anger here. Why would God be angry? Is he just frustrated? Why would God be angry? This is where we need to remember God's purposes that we were looking at last week. Last week, we saw that God is angered by the wickedness in the world. Remember, we were looking at a place like the situation in Syria, even the things that happened in Boston. And we said, no, God is rightly angry at those things. But we also saw that he is radically for people. He loves people. In fact, God wants people to know forgiveness, to know relationship with him. And God calls us to move towards people like that. I hope you've had a chance to do that this week. Do you know, it's why as a church we're trying to encourage communities to help us to move towards people in love as God has called us to. It's why we have things like the CAP Center here. So we want to move towards people in love. But when people don't express that love and care, when God's people don't do that, God is angry. It angers him. You know, Isaiah 58:6 is a verse in the context of God being angry at his people for not doing these things. It says this, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke. That's what we're called to do. That we're called to do that locally, but called to do that globally as well. And I wonder if, like me, you've been praying this week using this wonderful prayer prompt. We've been praying for individuals, praying for people we support. People like Brother Ranjan, we've got a picture here, Brother Ranjan in Sri Lanka. We're praying for Pastor Nihal Jayantha. You know, whole churches are supported through our giving. Isn't that wonderful? All around the world, there's whole communities. Sri Lanka is just one of those many, many places. And in a couple of weeks' time, we've got a chance to move towards people again through our giving. But Jonah's not interested in giving. Jonah's not interested in moving towards people. He's all about running. God sends a storm. What does he do? Look at the second part of verse 5. This storm comes, but Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. There's this major situation. The sailors are terrified. There's a crisis moment. If ever prayer is needed, it's now. And Jonah goes to bed, goes to sleep. It's serious, isn't it? Jonah's actions are preventing people from encountering God, preventing God's goodness going to people, preventing the people in Nineveh hearing about God, preventing the sailors in the ship hearing about God. No wonder God is angry. He gets angry when we don't move towards people in compassion. We don't show love. He gets angry when we stop people hearing about him. Do you know Jonah here looks more lost than ever? There's this amazing contrast, isn't there, between, I don't know if you noticed it as we read it, between the unbelieving sailors and Jonah. You know, they're the ones who are praying. They're the ones who are doing it. The ship's captain gets it, doesn't he? He says, he goes and wakes Jonah up. Says, come on, pray. Do you know, sometimes people who don't believe show greater levels of awareness and compassion than those who do. And that isn't right. It's great that they do that. But it isn't right that God's people would be behind the curve, as it were, on that. Jonah should be the one who's praying. Jonah should be the one who's moving towards people. He should be the one who recognizes that life is more important than stuff. Did you notice that? They just throw their stuff overboard. Because they recognize that life is more important than things. But he's sleeping instead of praying. No urgency. You know, this situation gets even more extraordinary. The sailors are even aware that someone is kind of responsible for this. Look at verse 7. The sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. They intuitively know that there's something bigger going on. And I think today the same is true. People intuitively know when something bad happens that there's something bigger going on. You know, when something happens, maybe a tragedy, we so often ask why. People who don't believe ask why. Why do people ask why? Because they know there's something bigger going on. And they recognize that actually it's got something to do with God's anger. They're asking the question, why? Who's responsible? Maybe you're asking why at the moment. A bit bewildered like these sailors. What's going on? Who's responsible? And the answer here is Jonah is responsible. God is angry at Jonah. Is God angry at us when we don't obey him? When we behave like Jonah? What do you think? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. That's true. But if we stop there, we miss the big thing that God is doing here. There's a much, much bigger thing. You see, the storm is not just about God's righteous anger. I want you to think about this question. Does God need Jonah? Is Jonah like this amazing employee that God just needs to do anything to keep him on his team? Is he like one of the star players? Is he like the Messi, you know, of the football team? You know, this time of year, isn't it? There's loads of rumors go around, you know, transfer rumors. And the managers are saying, no, they're not moving. That player's not moving. He's staying on my team because I need him. Is Jonah like that? Have a think about Jonah. What's he like? He's grumpy. He's unloving towards his enemy. He's lazy. He's fearful. He's critical. He's got that do not disturb sign over his life. Do you know, if God was acting primarily out of anger, you might expect God to say to Jonah, fine, you don't want me. I don't want you. See you later. And to be honest, that's what Jonah deserves. He deserves to be abandoned. You know, the strange thing in this story is not that God is angry with Jonah for not loving people and helping people. The confusing thing is why God doesn't either ignore Jonah or destroy him. You see, he sends a storm, but the storm doesn't destroy him. What's going on? Something bigger is going on. Why does God pursue Jonah? This is so important for us to understand. Do you know, sometimes we get that God loves people who are far off. We get that God loves people, those people who we're going to be giving to in the next couple of weeks. But what about those people who are near to him? Those people who are close but disobey. What are the consequences for them? Well, what's the consequence of this storm? At the end of this storm, is Jonah closer to God or further away? He gets closer through this storm, doesn't he? You see, God is using this storm to move closer to him. Do you know, this is the same God who hates wickedness, but he loves people, even self-righteous, arrogant people like Jonah. God loves him, and he wants to move towards him. He loves Jonah so much that he would even send a storm into his life to get closer to him. I was thinking of a picture. What's the picture of this, of God? I wonder if you're a parent here. You've ever had that experience when you're in a department store. You're looking at some stuff. You turn around. You've got your kids with you. They're when they're young. You turn around, and they're gone. You ever had that? And when that happens, what do you do? Oh, I don't care. No, you don't. You go and you look for them and you tell them off when you find them. But you that's not the main thing. The main thing is you love them and you want them back. And God loves you. And if you're running from him this morning, he wants you back. You know, there's this repetition in Jonah of Jonah's son going down. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the belly of the ship. And what happens when we go down, when we run from God? Well, God comes with us. He doesn't let us go. And in Jonah, you have this amazing picture of God coming down, coming with us. You know, it's a picture of Christ ultimately. You know, this one who leaves heaven, God himself leaves heaven, comes down to earth, ultimately goes down to the grave. That's what baptism is a picture of. Comes down. How far will God come after us? As far as it's possible to go. To death. That is how much God loves you. We run from God. And God pursues us. Because he loves us. He's an extraordinary God that would give his life for us. So that we could be back in relationship with him. Sometimes people feel like they've fallen too far. They've gone too far. You hear that wonderful song, isn't there? God's love, it's so low. You can't get under it. You can't go lower than the love of God. Do you know, it's so wide. You can't get round it. You can't run far enough to get away from the love of God. It's so high. You can't get over it. You can't get over the love of God. It's extraordinary. It's low enough. It's wide enough. It's high enough to lift you, ultimately to take you to heaven, to the God of heaven. You know, Jonah has to realize basically two things here. And he gets questioned by God through these sailors. You notice this, verse 8, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? He has to realize who he is. And he has to realize who God is. He has to realize that actually he's a prophet who's not been doing what he should do. That he's failed, fallen short. But there is a God in heaven who has left heaven to come and to seek and to save him. And if you're here this morning and you've been running from God, you're just aware that you've been a bit Jonah-like. And as I've been preparing this message, I've been aware of my Jonah tendencies. Tendencies not to move towards people in love. If you're aware of that, you need to remember again that God loves you. That God is for you, even in that place of disobedience. And he wants to come and turn you round. Bring you back to him. So we're going to pray. And I've got a prayer that we can actually all pray together. Hopefully it's be up here on the screen. It's a prayer that just says, I'm sorry I've run from you. It says, thank you that you've come after me and you love me. Thank you that Jesus, you went to the cross to die for me, to forgive me. It says, I believe in you. Help me to follow you wherever you lead. And you might need to pray that for the first time this morning. You might need to pray that afresh this morning. Maybe especially that, follow you wherever you lead. So should we pray these words together as we respond to God's amazing love towards us? Let's pray these words. God, I'm sorry I've run from you. Thank you that you come after me and you love me. Thank you that Jesus, that you went to the cross to die for me, to forgive me. I believe in you. Help me to follow you wherever you lead. Amen. I'm just going to pray for us. Lord God, we thank you that when we turn back to you, you forgive us and you restore us. Thank you that you pursue us because you love us and you want to get closer to us. And we recognize that being close to you is the best place to be. So Lord, for any of us here,